Welcome back to the podcast. My mission is to help women over 40, that's you, get fit and break free from unhealthy habits. Today I have on a very special guest who was broken free from a habit she wanted to get rid of, and I'm going to chat to her about how she did it so you can draw inspiration from. Please welcome to the show, Karen Coakley. Karen is a mum and successful businesswoman who owns a company called Kenmare Foodie. Over the years, her website and online presence has grown, and her sharing of recipes has led to her being a regular on RTE's afternoon show, where she does a live cooking segment. She is also featured in many radio interviews and has had her recipes featured in major publications. Karen, you are a busy, successful businesswoman with a family. You've recently stopped drinking alcohol, and this is what I'm really excited to chat to you about, and that's where I want to start. I have so many things to ask you. I want to get stuck straight in. So you are so welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jessica. And I feel like a newbie at this whole alcohol thing compared to you. And like, so like, what is it, week 12 for me at the moment? So like that, I'm afraid to say that I'm never going to have a glass of wine again. But at the moment, I'm just enjoying life without it.
Yeah, and a huge journey to break that habit. And that's exactly what I wanted to ask you about. First of all, tell me about your alcohol journey before you stopped drinking. What have your drinking habits been like over the past few years?
Pretty much the same as like everybody, you know, Friday night, husband would finish work at about 5, you know, kind of works Monday to Friday, office hours. So as long as we've been together, Friday evening has always been our evening to go out, have dinner, have a few drinks. And it's something that we both loved and we look forward to. But I think as you get older, Saturday, then it has a knock-on effect on Saturday. And then, you know, might have a few glasses of wine myself on Saturday night, or if I was cooking Sunday dinner, I might have a glass of wine or two glasses of wine on Sunday. And then like that, kind of found that Monday I was waking up and I just wasn't feeling like I was firing on all cylinders. So I know you introduced me there as like from the cooking side, but the more recent side to me is that I run food tours. So that's my business, started in 2018. And this year it's kind of gathering momentum. So I really feel I want to head into 2024 with my head fully screwed on, facing, I'm going to have a busy year and I want to get the most out of my week, but also out of my weekends. So I just see my weekends just being that time where I'm going to just take the time to restore, to switch off, to get out and exercise.
But that is like, that is such a huge thing, and you make it sound so simple. So I want to know more about this, because there's so many women listening to this podcast that have been in touch with me about wanting to stop drinking and how much they despise drinking. So talk to me about when the first thought about, the first idea came into your head that this isn't working for me. Tell me more about that.
Oh, I'd say in the last few years, especially in perimenopause, I guess things like waking up at night. It's different when you were younger. You could have a few drinks, you could stay up all night long, go to bed and sleep. Whereas when you hit 40, you go to bed after having a few drinks, the quality of sleep is desperate, and then you wake up, and with me, it was my heart was racing, so I did have to have a heart operation, but you still have, like, still wake up with that racy feeling, and also anxiety, you know, things that shouldn't be big things at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning all of a sudden are going around and around and around in your head. So as simple as if I was putting together an itinerary for a food tour, I'd start to think things through and have I done this, have I done that, have I contacted this person, and everything just seems so much bigger at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And then the following day you get up, you might be lazy getting out of bed, you don't jump out of bed, you might lie in bed on a Saturday morning. And then I just found that Saturday was wasted because I was dragging my feet, was making bad food choices also on a Friday, as the knock-on effect for Friday evening. And I do feel now that just my exercise, my diet, everything is just consistent, which is words that you always heard, consistency, consistency. And I never thought I could be consistent, but now I'm consistent without even trying to be consistent, because the weekend isn't that big blowout. And things like facing Easter, before I would have been really nervous about facing Easter because I've lost 13 pounds, and it would be, oh my God, Easter's coming, there's going to be this 2 weeks thinking of all the food and all the alcohol, and that's going to undo all the hard work. Whereas now it doesn't matter because it's just another day to enjoy.
You said something so interesting there that I loved so much, and it was about consistency just being a, like, you don't even have to think about it now, it's just a part of your week. And I can completely relate to that. You're it's almost like when you're drinking, for me anyway, when I was drinking at the weekends, you're really working hard at becoming consistent, and you're really focused on keeping the weight off, getting healthy, being healthy, staying healthy, and then you stop drinking and all that stuff goes away with it.
Yeah, that was, for me, it has been a bit of a revelation, and just, I feel more relaxed about everything I'm facing into now, and I feel more present with people. I feel I'm more just, like, living in the moment, even though I appreciate everything that I have in life. I really feel that I'm that kind of person that I think where I live most, like, you know, I see someone in the winter, and it's just kind of connect with where I am. But even more so now, I really feel that I am just living every second to its maximum, which is brilliant.
I want to talk to you about the negatives for a minute, because I'm so excited to talk to you about all the positives at the moment for you with not drinking. But tell me about the negatives. What do you really dislike about alcohol? What do you hate about it? What are the horrible things that you wanted to get rid of?
I hadn't really thought about it. I mean, like everybody, or a lot of people, you know, I think women, especially at our age, when you reach our age, you kind of secretly think that you would like to take a step back, or that you would like to stop, but you never see yourself as being the person who can stop. And I suppose a negative now that I would look at is that I know, and I think you spoke about this in one of your podcasts about quitting alcohol in your journey, is that when I have been out with my friends, I feel, or anybody, I just feel far more present. I feel I'm engaging in conversations more, because the first drink is beautiful. It really is just that first glass of wine. It's the one that gives you the kind of sense of, been waiting for this all day or all week, I've really earned it. But then after the second or third glass of wine, I think you're not as present as you are. You know, and even with conversations, you go home and you wake up the following day and you're thinking, what did we talk about? Or did I say this? Or did she say that? Or did he say that? Whereas I don't have that now. It's like there and I'm living in it, and there's no questioning, you know, who said what or... Am I making sense of that?
Oh my God, you're making complete sense. It's one of the things I really disliked about alcohol too, that I would go home to my parents, for example, or go and visit my family, and I was dying for some connection because I don't live in the same county as them. And all of our gatherings would have alcohol involved. And one of the things that I really started hating about it was that I would leave the next day and only really reminisce about the very first part of the conversation and the very first part of the night. And it was like, once that first drink is done, the rest is, it really was one of the reasons why I stopped drinking. I heard this really cool thing about the first drink gets you drunk. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds so simple, but it's so true. It's not the last drink that gets you drunk. It's that first drink. It's for people that are trying to stop drinking and they're trying to find ways of disliking alcohol, because it's easier to stay off it, I believe, if you dislike it or if you make yourself dislike it. So it's really in some ways about figuring out how to dislike that first drink. And for me, it was like, it's that first drink that leads to drunkenness. It's not the second or the third, it's the first one. And I thought that was amazing.
It's like you can feel that kind of that release. It's been very much about mind shift. So it was only going to be dry January, and then I decided, okay, I'm going to keep it going for February. And the hardest part of it was when the last week of January was saying, am I going to drink on Friday or am I not going to drink on Friday? Dry January is over. And people were saying to me, but it doesn't really matter if you have a drink. And no, it doesn't matter if I have a drink, but I knew if I had a drink on that Friday, that then I would have had a drink on Saturday, and I probably would have had a drink on Sunday, and I'd be back into that whole cycle again. And I think I started listening to podcasts and absorb everything. The same thing I did when I quit smoking 13 years ago. I took all of the information on board, and it really did help me. March, and we're nearly here now, and I've gone through two bank holidays, I've gone through numerous nights out, and what I'm finding, instead of saying, oh my God, I can't have a glass of wine on a Friday night, I have something planned for Saturday. So I'm getting up early, I'm doing a hike, or I'm doing a run, I've done the park run in Killarney, so that was like a great focus. I started back with running, something that I loved, and I had to stop due to ill health a few years ago, so I've got that back, I've done my park run, done hikes, rowing is another thing I'm back doing. So I'm looking at everything I'm gaining in my life, not what I'm missing out on. It's just completely switching how you think. And Friday nights, instead of sitting down with a glass of wine, I'm putting myself into the mental state that it's Friday. I'm going to take time now and just rest on the couch, watch TV, chill out completely, have a cup of tea, have a slice of cake, because I can have cake because I'm not having all the calories from wine. And it's just kind of looking after myself that way, as opposed to saying, I've had a crazy busy week, oh, give me a glass of wine.
Tell me more about that Friday night. That sounds amazing. I love that. Was there a void that you feel you had to fill, or did you just instantly start loving Friday night, cup of tea? You said totally unwind, which I completely get. The totally unwind, you can only do that when you're not drinking.
Yeah.
Did you find there was a void? Did you struggle at the start, or were you straight into it?
Not really, because let's say Vincent, my husband, would have done Dry January, and he's gone back having a few drinks. Now he trains this half Ironman and things like that. So like he's having his few drinks on a Friday evening and I'm going with him, and because, you know, that was always awesome. It's kind of like time out of the house, time away from the kids. So we're having a nice meal, or what I find actually really helps is if I go somewhere where I can have like a mocktail, like a nice mocktail, and it's just give me a nice glass, then it feels special. I'm not somebody who can sit there and drink sparkling water while, you know, everybody else is having wine. I just love the occasion of, you know, a nice glass and putting together something. So I'm finding the mocktails are working really, really well for me. And at home then I'm having this gorgeous drink. It's called Gimber, G-I-M-B-E-R. It's concentrated ginger. And I put that into a glass with like loads of ice, apple juice, like a really nice Irish local apple juice, some tonic water and a sprig of rosemary. And that has a kick like a mule off of it, but really refreshing, and you just feel really energized when you're drinking it. And I don't miss the glass of wine when I have that, because that's really, really nice.
Love that. I love that so much. And thanks for the tip on that drink. How do you stay healthy and deal with the pressures of running your business with the family? You mentioned rowing, you mentioned running, you've quit smoking, you're not drinking at the moment, you're running a business, very successful business. How do you do it? How do you prioritize your health? Do you have boundaries up? Like, tell me about that side of things.
I live in a beautiful place and I have very good friends, and my spare time is spent, we have a camper van as well. So my spare time is either spent with Vincent and the boys down in Caherdaniel, or, you know, West Cork, or we go to County Clare in the car, in the camper van. That's my switch off time. And then midweek, if I have spare time with my friends, we might go for a hike. I sea swim as well. That's kind of like a non-negotiable for me. So it's just doing those things to kind of find the balance. Now, my business is still very new, the food tour business. Still very new. This year is shaping up to be busy, so I am a little bit worried about how I'm going to cope with this summer coming, and I don't want to get overwhelmed, because when I started it, it's only ever meant to be my hobby. It was just a way to get out of the house on a Wednesday, away from the kids. Whereas now I'm like looking at my emails going, oh my God, bookings are coming in. And I want to enjoy it. But I still need to find the balance, and that's where for me, going forward for the summer, not drinking is going to make it so much easier to balance life with work. Because if I'm hungover Saturday, if I'm hungover Sunday, that's 2 days, two precious days out of my week gone. When I could be, if I'm working, if I'm doing tours Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I'm like hanging around the house drinks, my diet is bad, then that's 2 days out of my week gone. If I'm not drinking, I can reset myself on Friday, chill out at home, have a good night's sleep, get up Saturday morning, I can climb Caron Tuil, which is here, like right beside it, go up Mangerton, take a hike up the Barra Way, or I can go rowing. And that's how I plan to actually face it this year. Come back in the autumn, though, and see if that has happened.
Wow.
Good intentions, but I suppose that this too is my way of actually helping myself digest what I'm doing at the moment.
That sounds incredible. There's so much that we have to dedicate to drinking. It's like a full-time job. I mean, we really sacrifice an awful lot when we drink alcohol. And I just don't believe that that's talked about enough. Like, it's not... God, you mentioned so many things there. Like, the food side of things, the health side of things. Like, it having such a negative knock-on effect on our waistlines, on our health, on our motivation. Just for what it would it be, maybe 4 hours? 4 hours in a pub or at home, and then you have to dedicate 2 days to recovery. And you mentioned over 40, it's not just you bounce back the next day. So would it be like 2 days, 3 days of recovering from just these four? Like, you really have to ask yourself, is it worth it, don't you?
You really do. And like that, for me, like, I started HRT back in July, this coming July, I've been 3 years on HRT, and I can honestly say that since I have quit alcohol, I think everything is much more balanced.
Really?
And I think for me, yeah, no, like, now it did help me, I felt really, really good, but I think the final piece in the jigsaw for me has been alcohol. Now, I've also focused on my diet big time since the start of January. It's kind of like, it was 15 December, so I've taken a whole, like, holistic approach to this year. I've made it a year-long project, and one of the things would have been drink less, you know, cut back on drinking, or even quit, which I never thought would be possible. But I'm focusing on, instead of saying, okay, with my diet, I can't have cake, I can't have chocolate, I'm looking at what I can include into my diet. So I'm taking, like, the focus is completely on my gut and on my gut health and looking after my gut. And I'm convinced that that has helped clear the last bit of brain fog. The energy is up, the lack of alcohol is helping the energy up. My sleep, I'm looking forward to going to bed every night because my sleep is just so beautiful.
And oh!
Fresh in the morning, no, it is amazing. So for me, it's the whole, it's the gut health. It's like, I'm so eating, like, fermented foods, started making my own kombucha, focusing on fiber, focusing on probiotics, prebiotics, eating lots of beans, lentils, anything whole grain, sourdough. The only thing I stepped away from really is anything that's labelled low fat or that's labelled high protein. I stepped away from those, everything completely. So there's no guilt associated with food. I'm not counting calories, I'm not counting macros, and I am loving it. And I've lost 13 pounds since 1st January. And it's a completely different mindset.
I'm so delighted you've brought this up. I'm so excited to talk about your Instagram page. It is an absolute breath of fresh air. Like, all the recipes that you have are so inspiring and exciting. And they always get me really excited when I look at your Instagram page, because it's an absolute breath of fresh air. You seem to come at it from a really healthy, happy angle with food. Can you tell me more about that? Because I couldn't find anywhere on your page any negative, draggy down, there's only this amount of calories in this, low fat this. It's just such a wonderful approach. What, tell me, first of all, I have too many questions to ask you, so I'm just going to start with, what's your relationship like with food, and how did you, what was the inspiration for the page, and how did it become so healthy?
My relationship with food is I'm obsessed with food. So that got me to where I am now. And it's just like, I love food. And I didn't go to college. I had my first child when I was 19, and I dedicated my life to being at home. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I just literally cooked for them. That was what my entire day was spent, making everything from scratch. I don't know where that came from. I think I just grew up in West Cork, where we had all these fantastic artisan producers back in the 1970s, before the rest of Ireland knew, you know, Ireland is a fantastic place now. The local produce we have everywhere is just, I get really excited about it. But like in West Cork, we had the cheesemakers, and we had charcuterie makers, and we had Manning's Emporium when I was like 16 or 17. And I remember going out what I did, stayed home and did that for my kids. So I've always focused on what we put into our bodies was important. But then as well, as you go through the years, you can get caught up. And I did too. You know, I've been to a gym where I was counting my macros and my calories. And I can remember when I came out of that, I actually went to Swimming World because I put on loads of weight. And I can remember in Swimming World kind of going, oh my God, I can eat pasta, I can eat potatoes. And it's just my whole philosophy has always been, and that's what I've gone back to, is that if you eat well, like you eat wholesome food, you nourish your body. And like that goes back to looking after the gut, you know, which is a huge thing. I've definitely seen an improvement in my mental, my well-being, focusing on what I'm focusing on now.
And you're not cutting out food groups. Like, there's loads of carbohydrates on your Instagram page, and you've dropped 13 pounds, which just goes to show. And I really feel so many women over 40 have been told, or they think they need to cut out carbohydrates to lose any weight. And it's so damaging and misguided and misleading. Like, it's, I believe it's very bad.
And then you have, so when you're told to cut out something, you have the guilt and the anxiety around food. And it's like, if you're out for dinner, oh, I shouldn't have this. And you have it because you're out, but you feel bad about it. And then that just creates a whole negative cycle. Whereas from the first week of me giving up alcohol, what did I have? I was at home in Bantry with mom and dad. And for me, waking up fresh in my parents' house on Saturday morning, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, I'm going to have a full day here. And I went for a walk, one of my beautiful favorite places at home. And
Where is that?
Bantry in West Cork.
Beautiful.
So Forest and Flock, excuse the shop there. I had a coffee and a slice of lemon cake, and I sat there and I enjoyed every single bite of that cake because I didn't have to feel bad about it because everything else is so good. And I'm running a wellness group at the moment, like it's an online wellness group. There's 27 ladies in there, and they're, I think, learning from me. We do it via WhatsApp, but I've lost my point in that one now, Jessica, what I was saying about that, about the wellness group.
Well, can I ask you for a second about, you touched on something there, which I love so, so much. I find that, and I've done this in the past too, that we tend to punish ourselves. So we have unhealthy habits. Like, let's say, for example, when I was in the loop of drinking loads of alcohol at the weekend, the knock-on effect would be eating crap food, and I would punish myself by not allowing myself to really enjoy food during the week. And healthy food, it would be restrictive food and diety food. So it's almost like we're focused on the wrong thing. We think that we have to cut out all these wonderful, delicious foods because of the stuff that we're doing at the weekends. Whereas actually, and that's what I hate about weight loss programs, because actually we need to focus on the unhealthy habits and leave the lovely, healthy food alone and allow ourselves. You know, we don't take away from one to make up for the other, which I think so many of us do.
And that's, I think, just the very simple approach and I suppose common sense approach that I'm taking to food now. I'm just, like, I'm not excluding anything except alcohol, diet, or food. Like, anything that's labeled diet or low fat or anything that's processed is gone. So it's just eating vegetables, eating fruit, eating beans, introducing beans. I love beans. I love like homemade baked beans or Mexican beans. So it's making sure that I have those, or doing a turkey chili and adding loads of beans into that. I've made lentil salads. And
your enchiladas look amazing. Was it enchilada that I saw? It just looked so.
Yeah, I made those as well. And again, there's like there's the chicken in those. There's the beans. There's full fat milk.
Tell me, when did you decide you weren't going high protein, high fat? What happened, or what was the thought process around that?
Once I decided I was going to start looking after my gut and just listening to various podcasts and just like break away from the mentality of just buying into any one diet because they're all diets. So, you know, kind of like getting a yogurt that says high protein and then looking at what's inside of the yogurt, so there's 20 or 30 ingredients. buy my yogurt, it's the most beautiful Moscovite Farm organic natural yogurt from an Italian place here in town, Heidi Ryan's, my favourite shop in the world. And I have that in the morning with my berries and some local honey. And there's like two ingredients in that yogurt. It's got like all of my good gut bacteria and the lactobacillus. I don't know, I'm an expert, so I could be wrong in the pronunciation of that. But there's two ingredients in that yogurt. And that yogurt, it's full fat, it's not low fat, but it is doing me good. And it's protein, it's high protein. So why am I going to pick a yogurt that has got 20 ingredients on it because it's labeled protein, as opposed to another yogurt that has two ingredients that are going to do me good?
Wow. You're on HRT at the moment. You aren't drinking alcohol at the moment. You're really focusing on your gut health and focusing on making foods, as you always have been, from scratch, homegrown produce. Tell me the biggest changes you've noticed in yourself, the positive benefits to your health.
Not being able to think things through is gone. Clarity, like I'm in the moment, much more relaxed in myself, noticing that when I'm with people, I catch myself laughing, whereas previously you might be a little bit anxious or a little bit self-conscious, or a little bit nervous. Finding that is gone, and that I didn't expect. My exercise is improved 100%. I'm able to give every workout more because I have the energy. My sleep is fabulous. Like, my sleep is just, I love it. I'm waking up in the morning at like 5:45 and ready to take on the day.
Had it been very bad before?
No, I was always a good sleeper. Like,
have you noticed, what are the benefits of your sleep now? Have you noticed any positive changes?
It's just, I suppose, a much more restorative sleep. You know, that, like, I was always a good sleeper. I was blessed. But now it's the quality of that sleep that I'm waking up in the morning and I am like, ching, ready to go. I'm not dragging my feet in the morning. I'm not kind of lying there, switching off the alarm, going, oh, do I have to get up? I'm up and I'm ready to kind of face the day, which is great.
That's amazing. Okay, it's time for you to tell me about your business. Tell me all about it, what you do and how people can contact you.
That was a food blog I started back in 2013, where, or 2012, just posting recipes to a website. And then, as you said, got called up to the Today Show, did radio, had recipes published, things like that.
That's amazing. And did they just find you and go, wow, I love this, this is so cool, and ask you?
Well, yeah, it came through Instagram. Like, the message came through Instagram, did I want to hop on for a screen test? No, it's random, and it's like, I have not been on this year, but like every other year, it might be 2, 3, or 4 times, and they're always looking for new people.
Were you nervous?
I love it. No, not really. No, because the funny thing is, I'm so obsessed with food that once I start talking about food, I forget about everything else. I think it's like my superpower. So once you start me talking about food, I forget about the camera, I forget about everything else. I just want to talk about food. I don't know. It's my obsession in life. And then in 2018, I started the food tour business simply because Kinmare Foodie, the blog, was born out of a love of food, a love of Kinmare, the area I live in, taking in all of South Kerry and West Cork. And friends of mine were visiting Kinmare and they said, Karen, you really have to do something to show the passion you have for the town and food. You should start food tours. So I thought about it and went to one of the people who's on my tour still. And I said, Emma, what do you think? And she said, fantastic ideas. They have a Maison Mermaid, it's a beautiful French cafe on Kinmare. So we go into the bakery there and they learn how to make croissants and they get to take away their croissant. And that really was the beginning of the food tour for me. So then I also do home cooking groups. So like that at the moment, like 27 ladies living in my phone. group. So they're learning, you know, it's been 3 weeks it runs for at the moment. And like they're learning everything that I've learned myself in the last 3 months. So they are eating their vegetables, they're eating their beans, they're popping photographs of their food every day. And one lady has actually lost 2 kilos since she started 3 weeks ago. Now, the focus isn't weight loss, very strong on that. It's not a weight loss group, it's a wellness group. So it's about getting out, getting movement, getting your walk in. And one of the ladies this morning, it was so lovely, she put up a video of a river near her. And she was out for her walk at 6:30. And what she said was beautiful, and I said, that's what this is all about. She said, that's her favorite walk. And she was there at 6:30. And what she does is she stops at that spot and she takes 12 deep breaths and it sets her up for the day. And for me, that's what this group is all about. It's about doing things to make you feel good and to make you feel well and to eat like that too.
That's amazing. Your Instagram page is a real, it really showcases Ireland and Kerry and Cork in an amazing light. It makes me just want to go there. Where exactly are the food tours? Where do you do them?
So I do the food tours in Kinmare and Killarney. So they originally started off as Kinmare Foodie Tours because it was supposed to be every Wednesday in Kinmare just with me, but I expanded last year to Killarney. So this year with the website, we rebranded it as Kerry Food Tours.
Kerry Food Tours. Wow.
But a lot of my, let's say a lot of the tours that I do would be private bookings. So let's say American clients, their agents are putting together their itinerary for them when they're here for the week or 10 days. So they're staying in Kinmare, maybe Sinn Féin to the Park Hotel, so they book them into a food tour. And then I do public tours in Kinmare on a Wednesday and Killarney Thursday and Friday.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes, so if one of our I think me in Killarney, I'll probably have to take on somebody in Kinmare just looking at the emails that I have coming in so far this year. I try not to think about it, Jessica.
Tell me if people, and I'm going to put this on the on our website, but if people want to contact you for the wellness group or for a food tour, where do they go? What's the best way to get in touch?
Go to kinmarefoodie.com, and then there's a booking link for the food tours there, and there's also a booking link for the wellness group, which is starting. There'll be one running in April and one running in May, hopefully, and then after that I'll shut them down until maybe October till the tour is quieted down again. So it's just somebody kind of have the summer, the food tours, and then the lunch time is back to cooking.
Great. We'll put those on our show notes. That's really amazing. Karen, it's been so amazing to have you on and so insightful. I want to ask you one final question, and that is, somebody's listening in now and they are really struggling and they're stuck in that cycle and they're really busy, as most of us are over the age of 40. I know this is hard, but what's the one piece of advice you would give them to get out of a rut they feel in now?
If it is hormone related, I would definitely say to anybody, the choice to take HRT is completely your own, but make it an informed choice. You don't have to suffer. If you have anxiety, if your sleep is affected, if you have low energy, because it affects so many parts of our body, if you find you're having aches and pains, go and talk to somebody and get the information and then make a decision for you. That would be one decision, and then the next one is just try to go without alcohol and see what happens. And I don't want to end up sounding like that smoker who's quit smoking, because that was a promise I made myself when I quit smoking. I would never ever kind of like talk about the pleasures or how good it is to not smoke, but it's just, it's had a bigger effect on me, I think, than quitting smoking so far. And I'm not sure that I'll still be, you know, where I am in 6 months' time, but I'm going to go for as long as I can and see. And then hopefully, even if I do have a drink, that it will be one glass of wine and enjoy it, as opposed to one bottle of wine.
Karen, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.